I am bringing back an episode that I recorded over a year ago now. And the reason I'm going to do this today is because this episode not only was one of the most downloaded and watched episodes of the entire podcast, but also because it is very topical for today's world of work. Today, I'm going to share with you the story of Moan Vines, who went from a nurse into cybersecurity. This is the exact framework that I talk about in the Bold Move and all of the steps that Moan took to identify first and foremost her transferable skills and then take those skills into a whole new industry, cybersecurity. This is such an inspiring story, and it's very, very relevant to what we're going through in the world right now with all of the career reinventions and pivots that are happening. Moan shares the steps that she went through, her imposter syndrome thoughts that came up, how she applied adaptability and resilience, how she someday struggled with the juggle of her family life, career, and self-care. This story is incredibly inspiring, and I am so excited for you to listen to this. If you haven't listened to this one yet, you're going to absolutely love it. And if you have, it is definitely worth a re-listen because there are so many incredible takeaways. So let's take it over to Moan. Enjoy this episode. Welcome to the Career Confidence Podcast today. I am very excited to have you on and to discuss what we're about to discuss today. For those that are just tuned in, can you quickly give an introduction into who you are and your very fascinating and inspiring career journey from being a nurse to coming into cybersecurity? So over to you. Can't wait to hear your journey and tell me all about it.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. And I hope this story at least inspires a couple of people to take the journey into cyber. My name's Moan. My history is actually spending 13 years as a nurse. And I started off in mental health nursing because my mother was a psychiatrist, so it was very familiar to me. From there, I went into ward nursing, so did general and orthopedic. I actually got poached at that point because they were like, you have a strong personality and we think you'd work wonderfully in emergency. So I was lucky enough to go into the emergency realm. I specialized in trauma. And from there, I had such a passion for risk already and safe patient outcomes and advocating for people. I've always wanted to know the why why I'm doing things. So, in nursing, we do a lot of tasks. What everyone's familiar with is probably blood pressure, but it's understanding why we're doing that blood pressure at a cellular level. And I wanted to be really autonomous in what I was doing. So from there, I was like, all right, well, the next sensible thing to do is to go into intensive care. So I went into intensive care nursing and specialized in that realm and really got into the crux of nursing and understanding the why. And I was always studying. I was always self-funding courses. And it was at that point as well that I decided to join the Defence Force and explore that area as well. I had a very philanthropic drive and wanted to help the greater community. I also joined CareFlight as well, doing trauma care workshops, so teaching first responders about how to care for people. From there as well, because my husband's very career orientated as well, we've got three children, three very energetic boys. So it became very obvious that one of us had to stay home, well, at least have a job that was compatible with family life. So I worked really hard to ensure that I had a job that was still in nursing, still challenged me, allowed me to drive for change, agitate for change. So I got a job. I specialized in management. So I got a job with Defence, working full-time for Joint Health Command as an operations captain. I looked after two health centers, so managing over 110 people, and did a breadth of work in that space, which was just a phenomenal experience. they wanted me to deploy during COVID. And again, it was really complicated because my husband was also working full time. So I made the decision at that point to go back into reserves and then focus more on the management role, where again, I could still be very passionate, advocate for patients, drive policy and procedure, and focus on risk. So I did that for quite a few years, and I really enjoyed it, you know, watching the growth of the nurses and the doctors and, you know, being able to positively influence patient outcomes. So it was something that I just immensely loved. Which brings me to last year. So last year I traveled to Canberra and I visited a friend of mine, Linda, and she works as a software tester in Canberra. And I said to her, because I was so naive, I was like, so Linda, do you work in like ones and zeros? And she's like, no more. She's like, not quite. I was like, all right, well, what do you do then? And so she explained a little bit about what she did. And I was like, that's really interesting. And then I thought about it a bit more and I was like, this is amazing. I was like, to think that I use all this technology at work, be it insulin pumps, pacemakers, ventilators, you know, all these things that people are so reliant on. And it's literally, if it doesn't work, it can, you know, jeopardize their life and there can be loss of life. I was just like, this is just unreal. And I went home and I started researching on the FDA website, looking at different medical devices. And lo and behold, like, people had tried to weaponize these devices in the past. And it was just like I was walking into a new world. I was like, how did I not see this before? How was I not aware? So I went back to work the next day and I sat there and I sat there and I was like, I was dumbfounded that, you know, I'm so reliant myself on technology. I use computers every day. My kids use PlayStation, Xbox, Switches, you know, mobile phones. And I was like, this is, it was just like a darkness had been lifted from my vision. So I became more and more curious. But my problem was that I was surrounded by people who were just, we're just so health involved, and no one around me ever spoke about, I mean, we did our mandatory training, but it wasn't something that was really in the forefront of our minds a lot of the time. And, you know, we've got this confirmation bias that it's not going to happen to us. And, you know, when it comes to cybersecurity and cyber risk, that wasn't something I was really aware of or that I appreciated in its truest form. So I started talking to my twin sister, and I was talking to her about it because she did nursing previously as well. And I was like, there is this world that I just need to know more about, but I just didn't know where to start. I was like, I've got no one to talk to. So I started Googling and I was like, who can I talk to? So I got onto Learning People and I got onto someone with them, and he was talking about the different courses that you can do and I suppose how to optimize your position to learn more and network. And, you know, they really pushed LinkedIn as well to start talking to people. And that was the first stepping stone in my journey where I was like, all right, so there are lots of people I can talk to, but the onus is going to fall on me to really drive this if this is something that I really want to do. And I suppose one of the difficulties was my husband was like, Morn, you've been doing nursing for 13 years and, you know, you've got this position, which is phenomenal, and you're in a fantastic space. You're really good at what you do. You know, why would you want to go to the bottom again? And I was like, I don't know. I was like, this is just so interesting. And, you know, I really feel like there can be a convergence of worlds and a different nirvana. You know, we'd been struggling with juggling the children. I was getting up at 4:30, 5 o'clock every morning and, you know, doing the kids on my own when he was away. And so I did have this desire as well to still be challenged and still find something that I absolutely loved, but also find flexibility for my children. So, you know, if I could be there at breakfast time and they could have less time in daycare, then, you know, that was definitely something I was going to push towards. So that was when I sat down and I started looking at my whys. It's like, well, why is this important to me? Why am I driving so hard? How can I make this work? So I got onto LinkedIn and I started networking. I actually started, which is so like abnormal for me, but I started cold calling companies and going, can I talk to people about what they do? Can I talk about your journey? And it was much like in nursing where if you talk to someone in emergency, they're like, emergency is the best department to work in. But then if you talk to someone in intensive care, they're like, intensive care is the best place to work in. So I found that was the same in cyber. So if you called a pen testing company, they were like, you have to go pen testing. Like, that is the way, the truth and the light. Whereas if you called a GRC company, they were like, no, this is what you should do. So what I started doing is I started going, there is a whole world that I just have no idea about. There's so many different avenues. There is just so much more to this than what I first thought. And I was like, so what do I want to be when I grow up? I was like, I don't know. So I was just like, I'll keep pushing forward and seeing what there is, keep talking to people. I started doing my CompTIA certificates, which was really, it was really exciting, but also confronting at the same time, because the most technology I'd ever dealt with besides my computer and my phone was playing Crash Bandicoot or a bit of World of Warcraft in the past, but that was about it. You know, I hadn't spun up computers. I hadn't played with, you know, any of the virtual platforms before. So that was the other thing. I couldn't talk the talk, and that was really challenging. And, you know, an example is when people start talking about OT. So I was like, operational technology. I was like, but in my world, that means occupational therapist. So, you know, like there were all these acronyms that we were dealing with as well. So, but I was stuck to my guns. And like I said to my husband, and I was like, can I have your blessing if the opportunity arises to take the leap? And he's like, if you really want to do it, then I've got your back. And same with my twin sister. I had these people around me who just supported me endlessly. And we're just like, Maureen, you can do it. So I kept doing my CompTIA certificates, and the first one I passed, and I was like, wow, Maureen, you know, you can do this. And then the second one I did, I passed. The third one I failed the first time, and I was like, that's okay. Like, it just means you need to study a little bit harder. So I think the point of that is that, you know, you can. And I think if I'd failed my first exam, I just would have kept going, because I was just so driven. And I certainly didn't see it as a failure, rather as an opportunity to just study more, understand that there was so much foundational knowledge that I had to get at the beginning to ensure that I just didn't jump in head first, but actually understood what it all meant, which was really important to me. Again, going back to the why are we doing things and being able to explain it. So when I was on LinkedIn, I one day got this message from my boss now, and got talking to him, which was another new concept to me, because in health, we have a very different way of communicating. We don't use LinkedIn per se. We do, but not for recruitment. It's pretty standard, stock standard, just the old fashioned way. Put in your application, go through recruitment. So this idea of talking to a CEO was very new to me. And at the beginning, I was like, but why do you want to talk to me? I didn't understand networking, to be honest, which was quite interesting in hindsight. So I got talking to him, and eventually he was like, do you want a job? And I was like, no, thanks. And he was like, but Maureen, are you sure? Because, you know, if you really want to make this work, we can make it work. And I had a lot of fear. I was really scared. I was scared of committing. You know, I'd invested so much time and effort and commitment into studying and trying to make the change, but then taking the final leap was just terrifying. I was like, you know, I felt like I was risking the financial livelihood of my family and my children. We were going into the unknown. You know, the thing that I knew very well was over 13 years of health. And, you know, I know the intricacies of the public and private system. And yeah, it was just really scary. And so I lamented for quite a few days, and eventually Scott came back and he was like, Maureen, what's your decision? And I was like, I'll do it. And no one around me at work could believe it. They were like, but why are you going into cyber? And I was like, because it's so interesting. It's fascinating. I was like, and we all use it. You know, this is inherently part of our lives, and it's going to be forever moving forward. So, and I just felt like there was something about it where I could make a change. There could be a convergence of worlds, and like I had something to offer. And I didn't really understand what that was at the beginning, but I was like, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of skills that I have, which I can transfer. So I'm not starting from the bottom. I'm not starting from scratch. It's just taking a divergence and a different path. So at the beginning, it was really difficult. Like, I'm not going to lie. I had a period of transition, we'll call it, just because the industries are very different. People talk very differently. I went from a private health company and public health system to then coming into a corporate environment, which was very different. And I also was working remote. So I went from being surrounded by people and having the office, like everyone coming in every 2 seconds needing something and, you know, having patients come in with all sorts of weird and wonderful issues to almost silence. So that was really challenging. And I certainly at the beginning had days where I was like, what have you done, Morn? You know, that self-doubt and the imposter syndrome, you can call it, at the beginning, where I was just like, Morn, you really don't know anything. Like, why did you do this? But I was like, then I'd just be like, what are your whys? You know, think about why you wanted to do this again. So, you know, I wrote them down on a piece of paper and stuck them on the wall. And every time I had doubt, I'd look at my whys and I'd talk to my twin sister and I was like, I've just got to keep going because I feel like there is more to this. So I kept studying. Like, I haven't stopped studying since I started. So I started in January. I started in the SOC space, the Security Operations Center space, which was really challenging because I had to learn different platforms. I had to learn hashes. I had to learn all sorts of different things that made no sense to me. Nothing was intuitive, to be honest. But I made sure that I wrote a list of things down every day that I didn't understand. And then that night I would go and research it, or I'd talk to my colleagues and be like, I really didn't understand that. So you're going to have to just be a little bit patient and go through it once more. And I was like, eventually it'll sink in, which it did. But I was like, for some things, we're starting from scratch. But when it came to other things like policy, communication, talking in front of exec, like all of that was very familiar to me. Having difficult conversations, communicating risk, that's something I'm very familiar with. So all of that came very naturally. It was just the technical overlay. From the SOC space, I ventured into GRC and I love GRC. And if you'd asked me 10 years ago if I would have gone into governance, risk and compliance, I'd have been like, no way, no way. But the more I thought about it, the more I was like, that's actually what I've been doing during my entire nursing career. Because if we don't follow governance and policy, that's when things go astray and that's when there can be potentially a loss of life or there is loss of life. So we're very much about compliance and governance, risk and compliance in health. And when I saw that in cyber, I was like, this is it. This is what I love. Communicating risk, identifying risk, looking at remediations, doing gap analyses. It's something that I've just taken it and I've run with it. And so I'm doing my ISO lead implementer course, which I'm just finding fascinating. And I've already started looking at doing CISM. And starting to talk to different people in the GRC space to be like, what is the best avenue moving forward? The other thing that I've come to realize is in cyber, it's much like in health, where you can do all the theoretical courses and even do practical scenarios, but real life can be very different. So you get that practice theory gap. And so the same is in this space where it's very important to keep networking, keep talking to people and keep utilizing the systems so that you can bridge that gap and get that proper technical overlay. So that's where I'm up to at the moment.
Wow. I was just completely gripped by everything you were just saying there and so honestly inspired, because you could have told yourself so many different stories. Like, as you were speaking, I thought, wow, here is a woman that has got 3 young children, has dedicated 13 years of her life working up in the medical industry as a nurse, obviously had a very supportive husband, which was wonderful, but there was you could have listed all the reasons why not to do it. And instead you listed all the reasons why you should do it. And I think that this can be the difference between going for something that really excites you and staying in your comfort zone. And I think you kept on saying the word why, and on those sort of darker days where you were questioning yourself and imposter syndrome was popping up and fear, you went back to your why. And I've never actually heard somebody say that before when they've made that transition in their career. So what I'm sort of sensing from what you've just said there, the first thing that was really a standout for me was, and again, something I often say, but we can't be what we can't see. When you went to visit your friend and she was a tester, all of a sudden your eyes were open to a whole different world. And then you got curious, and that curiosity led you down a path of, oh, this is really exciting. I'm quite interested in this. And then you started networking. Then you started asking more questions. So if you could, like, I guess there's the audience listening to this now, and I'm so passionate, Morn, about getting more women in technology. It is the future, especially cyber. It's the fastest growing industry in technology right now. But at present, I think only 17% of the cyberspace are women, which is quite frightening, because there's going to be a lot of jobs in the next 10 years that are going to be obsolete. But you see the rate of technology growing, you see the rate of cyber growing. And I want to make sure that that gap isn't getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, I don't want to be looking down the, you know, reading these stats in 5 years' time and seeing only 10% in the cyberspace of women. And that does scare me. So when you were going through this journey, you mentioned that there were some moments where you were questioning yourself. And when you were taking that third test, you could have easily gone, oh, this isn't for me. You also seem somebody that's very sure, you know, got that sort of self-belief and confidence. You know, you definitely, that's what you're sort of giving off to me, which is wonderful to see. But what advice would you have for somebody right now that is maybe in a career that they think, oh, like, I want to explore other avenues, but maybe they don't have the supportive spouse that you have, and maybe they are sort of more steering towards the why not to do it? What has been your journey when you've had those moments of self-doubt and imposter syndrome and fear? How have you overcome that and kept on moving forward in your own sort of way? Because I think that's really inspiring.
Yeah, I mean, there were certainly periods where it's not like it was just an hour. I had a couple of days in a row where I was like, this is like, I think I regret my decision. But I took my time. And I also made sure that I communicated my concerns to people around me. So I didn't, to get perspective and also get that support. The other thing I did is in networking on LinkedIn, I got on to AWSN and they do a mentoring program, mentoring program. And so I was like, all right, I need some perspective. I need to know what possibilities are out there. I need a lifeline. And so I made sure that I spoke to some people in the industry to get some positive feedback about their experiences. It's like, the biggest thing was holding on to the why I'm doing this. And it certainly wasn't easy, because it's like, well, why have I got a why? I'm making life harder. But I think what's really interesting is there are really, I mean, health is predominantly women on the other end of the spectrum, but there are really amazing women in cyber. There are amazing people in cyber, equally men, women, just everyone is just immensely supportive. And they don't hold back in sharing information, in sharing support. You know, I've spoken to people on LinkedIn who I've never met, and they're more than happy to have a coffee with you or just have a chat, a virtual chat. And you know, some of them, I was like, at the end of the conversation, I was like, I feel like I need to pay you, because this was like a psychotherapy session. You know, so it was so wonderful. And they really pushed me forward as well on the days where I was like, maybe I literally, you know, was wondering if my old bosses would take me back. I was like, I don't know if this is the right thing to do, but it's an industry where I've got more flexibility. I've got more autonomy in my life. You know, with my children, if there's things on at daycare, I literally have the capacity to go. And that's not something I could necessarily do before. Or if I did it, it had to be with a lot of effort. You know, like my child was sick a couple of weeks ago and I went around the block and got him from daycare and it was just a non-event. And that to me is just so important. That work-life balance is really there. I've never had the flexibility before to say start early or start late and then, you know, do things in the evening. So that has allowed me to ensure that I can still study, I can attend virtual free education sessions. So it's just an immensely wonderful industry and career. So I think if you're doubting yourself, then, you know, reach out to people and have discussions about what the possibilities are, because they're endless and in so many different areas. You know, if you have a passion for, say, mining, you can do cyber and mining. If it's in health, there's digital health. It's just in every industry, cyber is growing and you can have your own nirvana.
So, so powerful. And it is, I've always said it, like I am a bit like you, more like I was working in beauty before I got into tech recruitment. So I went from a very female dominated industry into a very male dominated industry. And I can count on one hand the amount of women I spoke to in the first sort of 5 years of my technology recruitment career. There was just no women that I've sort of hired for or even really placed. Very, very limited amount. And gratefully, we have come a long way. Like, I do think that there has been strides made. However, we still do have a long way to go, because when I speak to a lot of women, they still believe that tech's for men, it's very male dominated, which it is. But I think part of the problem is that we don't have enough female representation, and we do need more women using their voices. We do need more women being visible, and we need to elevate those voices in the industry to say, this is what a career in technology can look like. It offers flexibility, offers great pay. And, you know, look at all these women thriving in their careers. It's really impressive. And then again, it's like, oh, okay, well, if Morn can do it, I can do it. Because, you know, there's the 3-minute mile. She's no different to me. I'm a nurse, so I'm doing this. Okay, well, what are my transferable skills? Boom, that's fantastic. So, but when you sort of compare, like you did sort of touch upon this, but I'd like to go into a bit more depth into it, because I think it's really, really key. When you were sort of exploring the technology industry and you chose cyber, what were some of the transferable skills, and what have you found that, coming from that nursing background, what benefits do you bring, and what knowledge and experience can you now offer the cybersecurity industry? Because I'm sure there is countless skills that you bring.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So it's nursing and also defense. So defense has a huge drive for security and cybersecurity. And in health, obviously privacy and confidentiality is key to our industry as well. So we've always had to exercise that. We've always had to, well, particularly in those two industries, we've got data classification, we've got data loss prevention. You know, there's all these things that I've been doing for so long. And now that I'm in the industry, I was like, ah, here it is again. You know, like, I know this. So I think another really big one is communication. So I just can't talk about it highly enough, whether it be written, verbal, nonverbal, being able to read a room, going to clients, seeing their discomfort at the unknown at the beginning, being able to set them at ease, and being able to engage with them in a meaningful way, and understand what's really important to them. So it's not just lecturing them and talking over the top with them and being really technical. It actually helps coming from a non-technical background, because you can speak their language. You can tailor the dialogue to what suits them so that they actually understand. And I think listening is just a phenomenal skill. So one mouth, two ears is really important. So understanding, and this is important for cyber risk assessments in business as well, you know, listening to them about what is important to them and their business, how much risk they think they have, how much money they're willing to pay, explaining to them why that's important. Because sometimes when you throw really big figures at them, they're like, no, that's not commensurate to the level of risk. But when you break it down and communicate it effectively to them, then they're like, oh, wow, that's like, this is a real possibility. So that has come from nursing and defense. having the capacity to stand in front of an exec room, so full of executives, can be really confronting for some people, well, for a lot of people. But I think having that ability to stand there and address on-the-fly questions is really powerful and really necessary. And that's certainly come from previous experience and not being drawn out the last 12 months, although it certainly helped. So, yeah, that's the biggest one.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. I wanted to quickly pop in and talk to you about our amazing supporter, CH Talent Solutions. We are an IT and digital recruitment company based in Australia. If you are someone right now looking for a new opportunity or considering a career pivot, please reach out to one of our consultants. Or if you are somebody looking to build your team or build your company or scale, again, please reach out to us if you are looking to find the best tech talent fast. I look forward to connecting with you. Now back to today's episode. Enjoy. That communication piece and listening is just, it's so huge. And look, I'll be honest, I've worked in technology for a long time, recruiting in it. When you get a tech professional with also really good communication skills, you can guarantee that that person's going to do well, because communication is absolutely key. And I think that's the one thing that I always sort of really sort of highly stress people to work on, is how are you communicating with stakeholders, with your team, with non-technical people. It's so important to sort of building that team and building that culture. So the fact that you're such a great communicator, that will really, really help you in your career as you, I'm sure, go on to do some incredible things. The thing that I always sort of come back to, and I always want to like ask people that are in the industry and have recently transitioned into the industry, what has that process been like? Because I want to make sure that when we are bringing people into tech, it is as smooth a transition of what it can be. Have you come up against any barriers? Have you had any struggles since you've got into this industry? And if you have, how have you overcome them? And how can we, those of us already in the tech industry, how can we be open to bringing more people in? And when they come in, they stay in the industry. What's your experience been?
Well, one of the fears that I had was starting again. So starting being at the bottom of the barrel in a new industry. And I was fortunate in that most people, I suppose, recognized and respected my background, having worked in defense and management and, yeah, having a phenomenal lot of experience in that industry. There were some people, though, who spoke to me like I knew nothing, and that I literally, it was like I was 18 again. I didn't know how to do a tax return. And I was like, all right. I was like, that's okay. So the way that I tackled that was that I was just really honest. I just pulled it out for what it was. And I was like, look, I really respect, you know, you and your industry experience and your professionalism. And I just hope you can do the same for me. I was like, you know, I've got this breadth of experience and I'm not going to be proficient in a lot of the technological skills, but if you teach me, I will be. So don't bring me fish, teach me how to fish and, you know, I will feed a village. So it was really challenging though. And there were a couple of days in particular where I was like, all right, I've got to work through this. And the only way to work through this is to be honest and stand up for myself and show them that I won't just be a pushover. I'm not at the bottom of the barrel. I am someone that comes with all this experience and knowledge. So, and I think with that has come some of the pressure to get some of the certificates. Like I value education and I value learning. So that's, you know, it comes very naturally to me. There have been nights where I'm up at 11 o'clock at night and I'm like, I'm tired, you know, and there have been some days where I was like, I can't do this. Like the kids are taking priority and maybe a bit of Netflix is taking priority, not this tonight. So I think that's really healthy as well. But there has been, it's quite interesting, they're pushing the point of certificates not being the be-all and end-all. And I think that's true, but there's this unspoken need for street cred. And to pave the way and earn your right in some ways. And you see it in a lot of the job adverts as well, you know, entry level, but must have CISM, which needs 5 years of experience to get you know, accredited in. So it's a real battle and a real struggle. But I think if you can hold your ground and hold true to what you believe in and stand up for yourself and also get the right people around you to support you, then you will be unstoppable.
100%. And it does like frustrate me when you say things like, you know, in job ads, we're sort of still writing must entry level, but must have 5 years, you know, of this. Or it's like, you know, it's like, well, I had the other day, a client said to me, you know, we want this. It was a particular technology. We want 5 years in it. And I think the technology had only been around for about 3 years. I'm thinking, Jesus, like you're asking for the impossible here.
Yeah.
You know, I really think it's really important for companies when they're writing job specs to, if they want to be inclusive for all, then they need to be very aware of how they're structuring that. But look, you've obviously joined a company that is very forward thinking, that's, you know, very open to bringing people in, training them, helping them, giving them the opportunity, which is absolutely fantastic. And I would love to see more companies really embrace this. And look, I appreciate that if it's a startup or a smaller company, that you are going to need someone to come in and hit the ground running, because maybe you haven't got the time to dedicate. And then that's not setting someone up for success. That person's going to come into your business, fail, and probably leave the industry, which would be a disaster. So when you're sort of like, when you were sort of looking for, let me ask you another question. Advice for people that are coming into the technology industry, what should they look for when they're joining companies? Like, what sort of questions, reflecting on your own experience, would you now ask when you're coming in to join companies for the first time as a sort of a newbie to the industry?
That's a really good question. So I would probably ask the same questions I asked 12 months ago. You know, do you understand? Oh, I remember I was like, do you understand I know nothing? And they're like, that's not fair. I'm like, you gotta know, like, I'm not gonna be very good at this.
Really sell yourself.
I know, right? I think so I was just very honest at the beginning. I think if you think about what you've been doing, you'll find that you have many soft skills. Many other skills to bring, and you can focus on that and really bring that to light and power forward. What's really important to me is companies that have strong in-house training and support. They have career development, structure. They know what your skill set is, because you don't want to go in and then, you know, then you've got expectations that are not being met. So I think finding, and there are lots, there's lots of companies that have grad programs and entry-level positions. So I think for me, there are companies out there that provide those positions. And then there's other ones that, and I think as the industry is growing, what you'll find is there are more people like, we were looking for this sort of person, but you've sparked my interest and you're really, you know, we're quite curious about you and we're willing to make this work. So it's amazing how people are starting to value different skills and different lived experience, because, you know, when you bring in different people from different backgrounds, that's when you get diversification of thought. That's where you get innovation and growth and drive. So, you know, I know even for my company, I came in and I was like, there are some changes that could potentially be made based on my previous experience, and the suggestions were listened to and implemented. And I think for me, that was validation that, you know, I did know things and I did have skills, knowledge and ability that would agitate for change and help drive the business forward. And I think that's really powerful. So I think people shouldn't discredit the skills that they have. They need to believe in themselves, know that they are enough, that they are that little bit extra that, you know, a company might need. And yeah, they've just got to try. You've got to be in it to win it. And I think you can also manifest your own dream if you try hard enough. So there are going to be, if you want to call it failures or, you know, unsuccessful interviews, unsuccessful attempts. But if you keep going, you will get there. And I think history has shown that with many, many people. You know, most successful people in history didn't get there by just luck. You know, they tried really hard and, you know, stumbled forward, but got up, brushed their knees off and kept going. And some days are going to be worse than others. that's okay. You know, that's actually normal. To struggle is to live. So, you know, as we head forward, we just have to believe in ourselves and make sure that we have a group of people who are our biggest fans and biggest cheerleaders. Yeah.
100% agree with everything you just said there. I was smiling like, yes, because it's so true. And there's a theme throughout this conversation that you are somebody that has backed herself and, but has done something about it. You've taken action. You've had a thought. You've been curious and you've gone for it. You've put yourself on LinkedIn. You've cold called. You've reached out. You have taken action, you know, and that's super powerful because no one's coming to save us. No one's coming to give us a push. No one's coming to figure it all out. It's down to us. We are responsible for our own lives, our own careers, and how that looks is up to us and the decisions that we make. So you are, yeah, walking, talking proof of what can happen when we take responsibility, we back ourselves and we go for it. And we also know that it's not going to be smooth sailing because, you know, I do worry for certain people that maybe haven't got that natural resilience. I think that's something that we all are going to need. And I think that, you know, especially the younger generation coming through, it's installing that resilience in them because the world is, you know, it's going to be a struggle. It is going to be competitive. It is going to be, you know, you're going to have to work hard to be successful and to get somewhere in life. And if you don't have that resilience, if the first time you hear no, you crumble, well, you're not going to get very far in life because like you say, like growth and progress and everything comes from the struggle and what we learn and how we choose to move forward from that. And it's that sort of mindset of seeing obstacles as opportunities and challenges as opportunities for growth. And that's the shift that we all need to make in our lives if we really want to make something of ourselves, which you clearly have, which is so, so inspiring. So look, final sort of question. I always find it extremely inspiring when I speak to women that, you know, like yourself, that, you know, you've mentioned you've got three young children at home. You're clearly extremely ambitious. You're going to go on to do incredible things in the cyberspace and I'm sure inspire others to do the same, but there is struggle in the juggle. How do you go about making time for yourself, taking care of three young children and crushing it in your career? Like, talk to me about that because I don't have kids, right? And I go, how on earth would I fit anything else into my week? And I'm sure I could, right? Anything's possible. But I look at you and I go, oh my God, you're superwoman. How are you doing it?
I don't feel like superwoman, trust me. So we live in Sydney and family-wise, I've got a twin sister who currently lives in London and a brother who's in Canberra. And then that's the family I've got left. And then my husband's got his dad and his brothers down in Melbourne. So we haven't actually got any family support in Sydney.
Wow.
And so it can be exceptionally difficult. I remember right at the beginning last year, I ended up speaking to a pen testing company and I was asking questions like, how long do you think this is going to take? And he's like, how long's a piece of string worn? And I was like, good question. And I was like, all right, well, how much study do you think I need to do? And he's like, a fair bit. I was like, all right. And he's like, best advice I can give you is if you've got even half an hour, use it. If this is what you want, use your time. And so even last year when I was still doing management, if I managed to get a lunch break, which wasn't very often, I'd have my computer ready to go to do some study. There were some days where I got up a little bit earlier to do some study, or we generally put the kids down at 7:30 and my husband invariably would be like, do you want to watch something on TV? And I was like, nah, I was like, that's okay. I'll keep studying. It was really, the other thing as well was he was away a lot last year and, with work. So whilst he was away, if I put the kids to bed, I would literally, you know, do the stuff you need to do, dishes, washing, have everything packed, ready to go. And then I'd sit down and sometimes I'd be exhausted, but I was like, you've just got to do even half an hour. It's like compound interest. I was like, it all adds up. Mm-hmm. So it is a struggle and it's really hard. And then, you know, you'll have things planned and then kids get sick or they just need you because that's what kids do. So I didn't have any expectation per se. And I also was really fortunate in that when it came to the exams, I mean, I'm very much, I don't like failing. I have a twin sister and we're quite competitive. So she hasn't failed anything. But I was like, you know what? It's okay because you're falling forward. So the little bit that you do is literally, it's going to be the foundations for the next thing. So I did what I could do. Some weeks I did a lot of study. Other weeks I was just like, I need a sabbatical. I need a sabbatical from this and from this invisible pressure I'm putting on myself. So sometimes I would. I'd put it all aside and I was like, all right, that's okay. Not this week. But I always went back to it to be like, you're just going to keep going on and that's okay. So, you know, it's not always going to work. You're going to have a plan. Nothing goes according to plan. Things change all the time. But I think it's much like looking at your retirement and working backwards. It's like, what's the end goal? What are you trying to work towards? You know, and making sure that you live in amongst all of that because, you know, life is so very short. And your family is ultimately the most important thing. So that's how I made it work. I studied when I could. I studied because I enjoyed it. And that was the other thing. I enjoyed it. And that really helped. And when I got stuck, I asked for help as well. So, yeah.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. And I think that, again, nothing's going to come easy. And the easy option for you are at the end of a day when you're exhausted would be just to flick on the TV, watch an episode of Netflix and go to bed. Pour yourself a glass of wine, no doubt. But you didn't. You sat and you studied. And there were days, rightly so, where you honored that and you said, nah, I'm going to flick on Netflix and pour myself a glass of wine because do you know what? Yeah. That's what I need right now. And I think that ability, and look, this has been my journey because I'm a bit like you. I like to do things to the best of my ability. I like to feel like I'm making progress. I like to feel like I'm developing myself. But there are some days where if I try and push it, it all just falls apart and I end up exhausted. And I go, yeah. Why have I just done that? So some days the best thing we can do, the kindest thing we can do is honor that feeling of I am exhausted. If I try and do something right now, even for 30 minutes, it's not going to go in. So it's going to be completely counterproductive. The best thing I can do is actually just have a bit of a switch off, have an early night and wake up the next day and go again. And I think that's a skill that you obviously have and I'm still working on. To really identify when we do need those moments, take those moments. But as long as we're just making slow progress every single week, and that's the best advice ever, just find 30 minutes. We can all find 30 minutes. And that's sometimes all it takes to make those compound little bit of investment that add up to be a huge win over time. And obviously, here you are today in the career of your dreams and doing exceptionally well. So look, I know I'm going to get you on in like, you know, another year's time and you're just going to be like heading up some, you know, big organization somewhere in charge of all of their cyber. But what is next for you? Like, you know, you do understand yourself. You seem very self-aware. Like where would you love to be? Let's say in, you know, a year or two's time, what have you thought about that? Or are you just sort of going with the flow?
Well, I love GRC. So I really want to start studying my CISM through ISACA. And for now, the ultimate goal would be an IRAP accreditor. So that goal might change and I might pivot. But I think what's really cool is that I'm working towards something. And, you know, like I said right at the beginning, I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up, but right now I love what I'm doing. And I just so much so that, you know, I work all day and then I put the kids to bed, like play with the kids, put them to bed and then I start studying again. Unless, you know, there are some days like I'll have not just one glass, but two glasses of wine. But going down the risk avenue and exploring more in that space and making sure that the foundations that I've created are built upon so that I'm really strong across a lot of different frameworks. So yeah, that's where I'm headed.
And I've got no doubt that you won't achieve that. But look, honestly, it's been incredibly inspiring to speak with you. And I just really hope that everyone that's listened to this episode today does get so much from this and really understands that anything is possible, that we just, the opportunities are endless. And, you know, I always think like the biggest motivator for me is forward casting and thinking, would I regret this decision not doing it? And if the answer is yes, then that's enough motivation for me to take action. And I think that we don't probably future cast enough sometimes and go, Georgie, 10 years from now, would you look back on this moment and say, why didn't you just go for it? Like, why didn't you just do it? Why don't you just take the first step? And I think that, yeah, your story is so inspiring. But where can I send people if they want to reach out to you and find out more about you and give you some love and support? Where do you hang out the most these days?
I spend quite a bit of time on LinkedIn. I think it's a phenomenal and powerful platform. So there's a lot of free information and support out there. So yeah, please reach out if you want to have a chat and explore my journey in more detail. I'd love to support. I'm a big advocate for supporting women. So I'll be your biggest cheerleader, like what I had. I think paying it forward is really important. But yeah.
Incredible. We'll make sure we link your LinkedIn profile below. But thank you, Maughan, for coming on today. Thank you for sharing your story. Really inspiring. And thank you so much for every single one of you that's listened to this. Please share it. Please like it. And please go and connect with Maughan. And I will speak to you next week.
Thank you
so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoy these episodes, the number one thing you can do to help us grow and keep spreading our mission and message is to hit the subscribe button. And if you have time, give us a quick rating. Appreciate each and every one of you who tune in every week. And we look forward to bringing you many more episodes this year. Take care.